Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is True That. So I found some crazy stuff that parents tell their kids, and if we had time, I'd ask you all, but I can't even read you some of these. One guy said, my parents used to tell my only brother and I that we used to have another brother who turned into a mushroom from not taking a bath. They even added him to the family albums. Another family, if the ice cream truck is playing music, it means they have run out of ice cream. True that, right? And this last one, I think I just laughed out loud when I read it, but it's horrible. I'm warning you up front, it's horrible. When we went to the store, my mom would say, every time you touch something, a kitten dies. I don't know who these people are. Hopefully we don't have any of them raising our children in the church. But wow, just craziness. So hopefully not true that on any of that. So I looked up some list of just like universal truisms, universal truths. And one of them is by a lady named Landy Klopper. She came up, you know, talked to categories about parents and upbringing, that those things affect you. Stress, born equal, we leave equal. We all want love and acceptance. True that. Happiness is a fleeting feeling. We all experience intrusive thoughts. These are not Christian sites, just general stuff. Society conditions us. Toxic, nasty people are projecting their inner misery. That's what she came up with. Someone close to you will let you down. Thoughts can create heaven or hell under the exact same circumstances. We do not experience reality directly. Another thing she went off on. True fulfillment comes from thinking beyond yourself. Change and uncertainty. Ignorant parenting causes a lot of trouble in the world. The right one for you isn't necessarily the one you think. Sometimes that can be true. Found another list. Well, let's get to these, some of these in the scriptures. One of the things that gets a true that, and you know, you hear something and go, well, how true that, that's got to be true. You can't just true that something and make it true. Just because you think, well, yeah, that sounds good, that's got to be true. And let me read you a quick definition for relativism, if you know what that is. It literally is defined as the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context and are not absolute. So we live in a very relativistic world where, well, you know, that used to be true. The Bible says that maybe, but that was culturally back then. Now that doesn't apply anymore. And people go, well, that's, you know, true that. I guess that's, let's just true that, right? Let's just stamp that and make that true. Except that if it's not true, it's not going to work for you. So we're not going to hit everything there is, but a few of the ones that I come across. God helps those who help themselves. And some people say, true that. It's just not true. God helps those who can't help themselves at all because you can't help yourself. Go to John 15:5. Now, I normally go left to right. You're going to have to really be on it today because I'm not going left to right. We're going to be all over the place. So John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Why do you have to stay vine and branch connected? For without me, you can do nothing. So in the Greek, I've told you this before, the word for nothing in the Greek means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay, so God helps those who help themselves. It's just not true. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do something to try to make your life better, but ultimately, you're not going to get anything of value done apart from him. Let's try another one. Once you become a Christian, everything's going to be easy. Oh, I got Jesus. It's all good now. I'll just read you one on this. John 16:33. Yeah, you never get a true that from anybody on just become a Christian, everything is easy.
John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The scripture is replete with suffering, tribulation, pain, trials. You're not going to live here and be a Christian and not experience these things. So you got to get over this. This is not fair. It's not right. Why is God doing this to me? It's just part of it. This is not any massive tribulation. Drove home the other day. My gate's closed. There's a car parked in the gate where I can't get in. I honked the horn, you know, very patiently, of course. No one's getting out of the car. Can't get in my house. Terrible inconvenience. This is not right, right? A guy walks across the street. He's run out of gas and decided to pull in my driveway out of gas. So I told him his car would be better in the street. So we pushed it back in the street. And I had to be able to go in, get a gas can. You say, well, that's such a tough pain. A guy's out of gas. Like, dude, just put gas in your car. Like, what's wrong with you? As a medical student, could be here today. So, you know, what is all that about? So I'm doing a little better. So I said, okay, Lord, we got a car in my driveway. What's this about? He's out of gas. Got a gas can, loaded him up in my car. He should never have gotten in my car. That was his first mistake. First mistake, running out of gas. Second mistake, getting in my car. Take him to get gas. We talk, come back, put gas in his car. And I said, look, you didn't run out of gas in my driveway by chance. I said, so I don't believe in coincidences. So I'm a pastor. And he said, well, my dad was a pastor. He's a chaplain now. I said, then somebody's praying for you. He said, my girlfriend, I just moved here. She moved here. We're in school. And I said, you need a church. Now, you said, well, what was all that about? You still were inconvenienced. Get over yourself. What if I'd gotten a text that morning? Dear Pastor Ellis, I live in Missouri. My son has moved to Texas. He's in school. You're going to meet him today. We've been praying before he was born for God to send people into his life. So we have been told by God, the Holy Spirit revealed to us, that he would run out of gas in your driveway. Sure hope you're having a good day. Please help my son. You go, oh, okay, well, there's my assignment for the day. You don't get a text like that. You just have to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it. Whatever it brings, here we go. And pay attention. Oh, but I had a flat tire. My car broke down. Pay attention. Maybe it's not pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant all the time. Their life isn't pleasant either. But they may be crying out to God, and that's how you got together. What's another juicy one here? You just need to get in touch with the God that is already within you. And I'm not even going to say out loud where that one kind of came from big time. The God that's within you. Now let me say something gently. If you're not a Christian, there ain't no God in you yet. You are God. That's the closest thing you got is you. Let's give you a verse for that. John 1:12. Okay? So when you hear someone say that to someone else, well, you know what? I'm just trying to connect with the God that's within me. Then ask a few questions gently. We're not punching people, pounding on people, but you're trying to help people. Of course they're going to hope that's true. Why would I not want there to be a God within me? Then if there's not one, I'm in trouble. So let's help them. John 1:12, but as many as what? Received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So someone says, well, I've just gotten in touch with the God that's within me. Say, well, how long have you been a Christian? What do you mean? Well, according to scripture, God really can't get in you unless you receive him. When did you receive him? What are you talking about? Oh, let me tell you, this is what happened to me, and this is how it works. So there's really no God in you, because he's not going to kick the door of your heart down unless you receive him. So you're not having to be mean. And some people, if you're gentle and kind and patient with them, go, wow, nobody ever told me that. And then you say, would you be interested in doing that? It's almost amazing sometimes how quickly they're interested, because if they've been searching, they need an answer. And then the Holy Spirit says, that's the answer. But too many times, what do? We go, well, that can't be right. You need to go home and pray about it. What if they've been praying about it for 40 years and nobody ever said anything to them, and somebody, do it already. If you want another one for that category, 1 John 5:12. And this is about as plain English as you can get. 1 John 5:12. Now look at this. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. do you have life? You can't have life apart from the Son of God. So if you have life, you have him. You don't have to complicate this. And if you explain this to people, I'm telling you, it was explained to me and I got it and I said, I'm interested and accepted it. Another one, you'll never be good enough. Like this doesn't apply to you. You can't measure up. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So you say, well, I'm not good enough. You are exactly right. And you will never be good enough to deserve this, pay for this. You can't earn it. It's not going to happen. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. So even if you say, I know the nicest lady in the world, she is not perfect. There's not one righteous person, not one. Somewhere along the way, she screwed up. She needs Jesus. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The only way he is going to overlook your sin is for you not to overlook his son. Very simple. Another one, God's word is not true. There's no such thing as absolute truth. It doesn't exist. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you say, well, I thought you were saying the scripture is truth. Who wrote the scripture? Truth wrote truth. A person is truth. So the person that is truth wrote the truth, used a bunch of people to do it, but that's where you get the truth. That's why you can trust it. And I haven't shared this in quite a while, but people say, well, I just, you know, the Bible's full of errors. We're not going this too far. But if someone says that to you, very gently say, well, I don't trust the Bible. It's full of errors. Say, okay, let's talk about just, you know, one of them that you have a problem with. What do you mean? Well, dude, you just said it's full of errors. So just pick us one. Let's talk about that one. You're going to throw a whole book out that's full of errors, and you can't even come up with one to discuss. Now, you say, what if they come up with one? And you don't have the answer. Say, you know what? I've never heard that one. Can I get back to you? What did I do when the guy ran out of gas in my driveway? Now, if I really just wanted to get rid of him, I'd say, you know, we're going to have to move your car and go back in the street and good luck. But I have a gas can behind my little fence gate. But I'm in a hurry and he'll figure it out and I don't need to use my tools to help him. Who would do that? Do some work already. Wow, I've never heard that objection. Okay, I'll tell you what. Can I get back to you on that one? And let me do some research and try to help you with that. Who's going to do that? Figure it out. Get some answers. Because if it's not full of errors, you should be able to find the answer. So find the answer already. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You say, well, you're just pulling verses. That's what they say. That's the truth. Jesus is praying for the disciples at that point, not for us yet at that point. And he's saying, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So use your word, what you say, to sanctify them, to change them, to turn them into who you want them to be. And then another obvious one is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, period. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So back to what people say, well, I don't, you know, the Bible's full of errors. I'm like, look, do you believe that God created the whole universe? Yes. Holds it together? Yes. If they'll give you that. Then don't you think he could get a book written? How hard can this be? And if he can get a book written, wouldn't he protect it and keep it intact so that we could trust it? Another one that some people throw out is, you know, he said he was coming back 2,000 years. He's not coming back. Like, whatever, dude. He's not coming back. Go to 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Let me read this pretty quickly. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both which I stir up your minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, so God speaks and those things happen, and he speaks and they're preserved, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So from God's perspective, what's he saying? A couple days have gone by. What's your rush? Why does he delay his return? That none should perish. Well, dude, pull the plug sometime because people keep getting born that are going to perish. There's this overlap thing. So look at God's long suffering, not wanting him to perish. What do you want him to pull the plug with your kids? See, if you got lost family members, people that are not saved, don't know Christ, not going to make heaven, you don't want him blowing the horn. Wait, not yet. So now you're long suffering because you want them where you are if you get it, where you're going to be. But the day of the Lord, you say, but is it going to come? Here he is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You say, well, I don't believe any of that. Let me tell you something. You're going to believe all of this. I don't believe the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat. Well, when it happens, if you're on the planet still, you go, oh, I think I heard about that. It'll just be too late. Just a couple more really quick here, kind of under the heading of, you know, if you don't get it right this time around, maybe next time around, you're coming back. You know, if you live a good life, you're going to come back as a something. But if you live a bad life, you'll be a mushroom or something, so it may not go well. You say, well, that's what people believe. Let me tell you what Scripture says. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. It's appointed to men to die once, after that, the judgment. You are not coming back as something else. You say, well, I was raised, I believe that. I respect it. I get that. I'm just telling you, it's not true. And you say, well, but my book is true and what I believe is true. Okay, I get that you believe that, but you're banking your whole life and eternity on what those words say. You better be sure that's God himself saying it. You can't just be like, oh, true that, because you feel like it. That sounds good. One more. All roads lead to God. Now, this one's a little tricky, actually. John 14. Go to John 14. John 14:6. So we already read this. What does it say? We were reading, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what does he say? No man, no one comes to the Father except through me. All right? So the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. Now look at Revelation 20. This is near the end of your Bible, unless you have a discount Bible. So this is an example of how patient you need to be with people. I had a guy, sat down with him, showed the Bible. He said, why are these books not in alphabetical order to make it easier? You know what? That's a brilliant question. It's just that you got the Old Testament, New Testament. They're put in a sequence for a reason. But that's a good question. You don't go, oh, that's stupid, dude. No, it's not stupid. It's a good idea. Right? So be patient with people. Revelation 20. Now, this is specifically, someone has told you possibly, and this is specifically for people who may not be Christians yet. And I say yet because we're counting on that changing. But you say, well, but I was told that all roads lead to God. In other words, we're all going to make it. See, this is the whole universalism, another ism that, you know, yeah, the Christians have their deal and other people got their deal, but everybody's going to make it in the end. And, you know, that's completely absurd. Okay, now let me take just a second on this. And I would use this with people as I explain it to people. I say, okay, let's go with that reasoning. You got Jesus. There's only one God, you say. Okay, so you got Jesus. You got Muhammad. You got Krishna. You go down to Buddha. You got the Buddha. You got, you know, go down the list. Name all these people. And what you're saying is that all of these people and whatever they came up with are all going to end up in the same place in heaven. That's what you're saying. Is that right? That's what most people are saying, right? Then this God you're claiming to be represented by all these people is a complete idiot. He is a fool. And you'd be better off being a complete atheist than messing with some idiot God like that. Now you say, well, why do you feel that way? If all these roads are going to get you to heaven, then what kind of idiot God would send his only son down here and tell us that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to heaven unless you go through him if you can make it through all these other people? You can keep that God. I'm out. You're not even interested in that God. What kind of sadistic, cruel God would say, now, Jesus, here's the deal. We got all these other ways, but this is going to look pretty impressive to send you down there and let you be born of a virgin and live a sinless life. And then we're going to put you on a cross. And some people are going to really think that's cool. And then you're going to be buried and raised from the dead. And that will be one of the ways to get them back to heaven. But really, any of these other ways, they can pull it off that way too. You don't want that God. I want nothing to do with a God that would sacrifice his own son, because I'm not giving one of my kids for any of you, not one of you. And yet he says, I'll give my only son, my only begotten son, that none should perish. So before you go buying into, you know, oh, y'all, oh, true that. No true that. You can't true that just because you think it sounds good and you don't want to get into some intense conversation. Be kind enough to a person to say, look, well, let's think through what you're claiming you believe. Well, they're going to be upset. They're really going to be upset if they end up in hell and you didn't even bother to bring something up. So keep reading. Verse 11, Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. Now, let me tell you something briefly. You want nothing to do with that. Because if you're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment apart from Christ, then you're going to be judged by what you did not do, your works. And you will never measure up. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. So whatever you did, you're going to get the consequence of that. Hell itself, you're not going to want to be there when that goes down.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone, listen to what I'm saying, verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You have to get your name in the book of life or you're screwed for eternity. You say, I don't believe that. I'm as quietly, calmly, passionately warning you as I possibly can. I'm telling you, it is the truth. And today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Respond. Say, God, I get it. I don't know why I'm pushing back on this. I'm wrong. You're right. Write my name in the book. Get me in the book. How do you get your name in the book? You believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead to save your sorry, lost soul like me. So that's all that's at stake. So that kind of stuff you can read and say all you want. True that, because that is true.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.